Let us pray. Your word, O God, is a source of refuge and guidance. Lead us and inspire our hearts and souls as we engage Holy Scripture with our minds and spirits. Amen. Our Old Testament reading for today is from Proverbs 4, verses 8 to 10. Listen to God's word. Each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can share its joy. The house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. Even in laughter the heart may ache, and rejoicing may end in grief. The faithless will be fully repaid for their ways, and the good rewarded for theirs. The simple believe anything, but the prudent give thought to their steps. The wise fear the Lord and shun evil, but a fool is hot-headed and yet feels secure. A quick-tempered person does foolish things, and the one who devises evil schemes is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. This is the word of the Lord.
On the night of his arrest in the Gospel of John, Jesus talks about his upcoming arrest and he's going to be with the disciples even after he has to leave them. This is so important that it takes three chapters, 14, 15, and 16. It's called the Farewell Discourse in the Gospel of John, and it talks about another advocate that Jesus is sending so that God will always be with us. The portion we're looking at this morning is one that is most commonly used in memorial services, and I use it as well because it brings comfort. So let's listen to the living word from John chapter 14, verses 1 to 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Most holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. May your spirit stir us afresh this day so that our eyes and our hearts and our minds are awoken by you, that we follow and serve you with our all. Amen. I find myself a lot these days looking back to the time of COVID restrictions, of isolation, insecurity of what was next. During this time, house took on a very different meaning. It was a safe place, but it was also kind of felt restrictive and a little bit like a jail cell sometimes. It was a refuge, and it was a hot mess. Our house in Texas slowly filled up with the furniture from my first children's dorm room, my younger child's dorm room, then my older child's first house, and then they moved back in. And then we got a plus one. We were cramped and on top of each other, yet truly blessed that we had this space and security of place to be together. Holding these opposite truths is such a part of this text as well. How do we all live together in a house? What does a house with many rooms look like? Is it Little House on the Prairie on a homestead? Is it Brady Bunch, where you've got two separate families merging together and becoming one? Is it a minimalist apartment with feng shui right? Or is it a luxurious castle? What do you picture when you think of a house? What does a room for you look like? Two important contrasts leap out of this text for me. God loves enough to pull us in, and God loves us specifically enough to not be a one-size-fits-all, but to be in a relationship of love with each of us, each unique person, just as we are. This text that Jesus is speaking this morning that we've read, he says to his followers, he's speaking to those of us, to Christians, if you know me, and you do, you know the way. The way here, according to the Reverend Alice McKenzie, has its roots in Old Testament wisdom literature, specifically Proverbs. Woman wisdom, who has been with God since the beginning of creation, is spoken of as the way in the Old Testament. And it's a path that's well-worn. Rather than a new route that we have to figure out or a way that our GPS is going to help us with, this is packed dirt that's been trod by many feet before us, smoothed down. You can walk one of those barefoot. Walking in wisdom and in faith. It's patterns of behavior that McKenzie says are worn by constant use. It's an interior way of being. It's not just one act or one route we follow once. This is the way that Jesus calls us to do even greater things than he did while on earth. This is a path with a unique blend of together, yet unique and still beloved. So that first sentence of the scripture, it talks about a you, and yeah, it's a y'all. It's a plural you. But rather than have troubled hearts, it's one heart. So God will abide in us, and the heart of the church is inextricably tied together. So let your heart not be troubled. We are each individual, an important part of the whole, but we are called to live together, and this is what builds that beautiful house. God working in and through each of us welcomes in the stranger and pulls us all together, one heart and one home. Many people resist this scripture. Did parts of it make anybody uncomfortable? There are parts uncomfortable. One verse has been greatly misused across time. Verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus was replying to Thomas a specific question, yet we pull it out of context and we make it exclusive, listening to that last part instead of truth and life. We emphasize, this house is for us. Christians and no other. If we take it out of context, the rest of John's gospel, it doesn't work. John's gospel should never be used as a weapon against others, and it likely doesn't mean what we've traditionally held it to mean. As theologian Houston Smith says, God is defined by Jesus, not confined by Jesus. Last week, we spoke about the Good Shepherd, In that part of John, Jesus mentions other sheep who are not a part of this fold and says he must bring them in also. Even stronger is verse 12:32. Jesus, when he's foretelling his death, says that when he is raised up, he will draw all people to himself. John's gospel does not carry themes of exclusivity, but rather is much more universal in nature. As Jamie Clark Soules points out, Jesus is the savior of the whole cosmos that he helped to create. So last week in our Wired Word Sunday School class, we were studying the Artemis crew and their perspectives from outer space. We were drawn to how one astronaut integrated Native American beliefs about morals tied to spirit creatures. And we easily tied each of these morals to Christian scripture, and we cross-referenced that with astrology and things that we hold dear in our personal faith. From deep space, we are reminded of our connectedness. As they shared that tiny capsule as their home for many days, their perspectives changed, honing in on what was truly important. From Little House on the Prairie, you have a blizzard where their world shrunk in, and they truly were blocked in with snow walls. To imagining a Brady Bunch with two very different families merging into one. Looking at our warring ways and our power battles pales in importance to the beauty of creation and the wisdom that connects us, regardless of our definitions or our human words and our labels. Each of us are connected and beloved and called to protect one another, commanded to love. Yes, our rooms in that house may look different, but that one heart in the house together makes it a loving and accepting home. Humans do rub up against each other, and yeah, we get it wrong. And I am relieved that any final drawing out of the relationship in whatever the end days might look like, that is not mine to decide or to judge, because I know in my heart I can't live up to Jesus when it comes on how I view people that I might label as enemy or other. Perhaps that's the true gist of this message. We're called to what that one commandment in John's gospel that Jesus gives us, the new commandment to love one another, overrides everything. Like those who reset their values in a pod out in space, or the reset when we were in COVID isolation, Jesus calls us back to one home, to being one heart, and not just realizing it, but owning that togetherness. The call is to love like Jesus did, to live like Jesus did. Andrew Pryor says, "The way, the truth, and the life involves living on this path that is the essence of God." He writes, "Not that God does not love us unless we follow Jesus. Not that our loving like Jesus somehow makes God love us, but that our loving like Jesus puts us in a different place. It changes our allegiance, but does not let us in as much as it opens us up to this other place. That place has begun here and now. It's not some future place up in the sky, but it's the kingdom on earth that we are called to exhibit and to be by loving it into being, by creating room and letting each and every person that we know and everybody that we meet, everybody know that they are beloved, that they too have a place. We must work to move to a world where systems protect, where servant leadership is again seen as the way, where truth and trust tie us once again tightly to each other. We must hold our children dear, Love them fiercely. Cherish each and every one. We must lean into the hope of our faith and rebuild the trust our world so desperately needs. Our world needs that. And we need to trust that God's love is stronger than everything that might divide us. What happens next, after this life, is a matter of faith. But so much of our scripture doesn't point to out there or some future thing to be earned, but rather to a relationship right now with God. A relationship that was embodied in Christ, modeled for us to show us what it means to be, to feel close. Yeah, sometimes strangling, and sometimes pulled out of our comfort zones, but it sits us at table with friend, stranger, and enemy. This house and this table have room for all. That is the place our hearts take comfort. Trust in this, and trust in one another. This is now, and this is tomorrow. It's a security, and it's a love that our minds can't quite grasp, can't quite define, but it's a love coming for all from a God who holds us dear. God loves you. God abides with you always. There is a special room. Amen.